Let's just pray again before we open the word. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you speak to us through your word, Lord. You know our hearts, Lord. You're always there for us, Father. Even now, Lord, that you're pouring your love upon us. And Father, I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be open, Lord, to be able to hear as you speak to us this day, Father. We just thank you for your love, Lord, that surrounds us and engulfs us. And Father, I pray, Lord, that this day we'll have a greater understanding of that love, Lord, that radical love, Lord, that you have for us, Lord, and how that we can show that. But Father, right now, Lord, we just take every thought unto you. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're here, Lord, and you love us in Jesus' name. Father, just pray, Lord, for those that need comfort right now, Lord, in this place, Lord, that your love and comfort will be upon them, Father. But Lord, we just open our hearts, Lord, to receive your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just... saying, Lord, do you want me to share something different this morning? I just feel the Lord really wants me to share the word that I had for us this morning. And as we're just talking about the whole theme for the year of radical love, we had our Vision Sunday last Sunday, and we talked about all that God had called us to for this coming year. And if you weren't here last Sunday, for whatever reason, I encourage you to go online and hear about all the things that God has for us, and make sure that you're aware of them. Our theme, as I said, for this year is radical love. And the thing about the love of God is it is always there for us. There are times in life when we just seem to be a little bit more vulnerable, a little bit more needing of the love of God. And the love of God is always there for us in every circumstance of life that we follow. And I praise God that we can draw on his love. And it's important that for us not only to draw on that love, to be able to show his love. Sometimes our own human love, because of our own emotion, our own frailties, our own insecurities, our own memories, our own whatever it is, the things have impacted our life, our own capacity for love will be a little bit stilted, perhaps not able to express that. Maybe we can't, but there's a love that we can tap into, this, and I want to talk about that radical love this morning. As you know, a couple of days' time, I think probably on Tuesday, we Pastor Pat's birthday. That's Valentine's Day. And so I always remember her birthday is Valentine's Day. That's very precious. I think that was God's little gift to you, and to be born on Valentine's Day. But it'll be, you'll find that in the next couple of days you haven't seen already, you go to a shopping centre, you'll see flowers and hearts and everything hanging around everywhere about Valentine's Day. And it's interesting when people think about Valentine's Day, because a lot of people think it's to do with a very romantic and sentimental kind of expression of love, you know, and a lot of people feel guilty. Oh, well, if I don't, better buy a card, and I better get some flowers, and I better get some chocolates, because if I don't do that, you know, it's not a good thing to do that. But we fall for that worldly sentimentalism, and there's nothing wrong with romance, but romance shouldn't be once a year. It's something that we should express that love all of the time to our spouse. That's important to do that. But the origins of Valentine's Day was not in people sending chocolates and sending flowers and sending notes and cards and things. The reality of it is actually three St. Valentines, two that are real St. Valentines, and one is more or less a legend that's basically evolved. But Valentine doesn't really revolve around romantic love and sentimentalism. It actually revolves around two, one in 197 AD and also 267 AD. One was a priest and one was a bishop, and they were persecuted under the Roman emperors, and they actually, rather than denouncing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they were actually martyred for their faith. And that's really the origins of Valentine's Day. It talks about a love that is a radical love, a love that actually will lay down the life for another. That's the heart of it. The legend, if you like, is also of another St. Valentine who also, under one of the emperors, was also persecuted and was going to be martyred for his faith. So that's the common theme all of the way through. And but if he recanted and became a pagan, then his life was going to be spared. Well, of course, he didn't do that. But the legend part that's added on to that is that he wrote a note to a young girl that he healed, who was blind, and she got healed, but he was in love with her and wrote a note to my Valentine. That was just tacked on a little bit. And if you read the greeting card companies, they'll have their own little history about it, because they want you to buy cards and things. But the basis of this of Valentine's Day really comes down to this thing, this radical love of people that loving the Lord with all of their heart, that they would not turn their back on the Lord, in fact, even to the point of death. And so that's the root of Valentine's Day. So when you're thinking about Valentine's Day, and sort of be romantically inclined towards your spouse, but don't do it once a year, guys. We need to do that. But it actually goes far deeper than that to a love. When we're talking about the word radical, and I'll just put these definitions up there for you. A lot of young people will use the term radical. Man, that was radical. Oh, we had a radical time. It was a radical party. It was a radical movie. Everything was radical. And it's become in the slang, in the vernacular, is to be excellent or wonderful. Something is excellent. Something's wonderful. Oh, that was radical. Man, that was great. And certainly when we're talking about the love that we're talking about right across this year, we are talking definitely about a love that is excellent, a love that is wonderful. In fact, it's more wonderful than any of us will ever fully comprehend until we are with him in eternity. And then to know that love, even as our dear sister is knowing that love in such a precious way right now, and the glory and the love of God is being poured out upon her in a wonderful way. But that love of God is indeed an excellent love. It is a wonderful love. But also the other sense of it is it's a departing from what's unusual or customary. It's different. It's out of the ordinary. It's against the flow. It's against the norm. And certainly with the concept of love in the world, as we saw last Sunday from that DVD, it's about me. It's about meeting my needs. I'm unhappy. I'm upset. I don't have something. I need something. There's a need in me that needs to be filled. And it's a love that really ultimately comes down. And certainly when we do that series, which I want the whole church to do about that, about the agape road, we'll find a difference about the love that is really a self-centered kind of love. But that's the norm, if you like. When people, you know, quite often people get married and it's, you know, that it's what they're going to meet my needs. What are they going to do for me? How are they going to make me feel better? How are they going to look after me? How are they going to care for me? How are they going to look after me? And that's the general sense in the world of love. But the love that we're talking about is something that is different from that. It's a love that is not self-centered. It's not a love that is self-seeking. But it's a love that is totally different from that. And it's a radical concept of love. And you talk about Valentine's Day. The real meaning of Valentine's Day, not the romanticism and the sentimentalism, but the root of that, which is about sacrifice. It's about laying life down. It's about a love that is radical. Why would people do that? Well, that's the kind of love. But ultimately, the definition of love, radical, that we're looking at this year as we really talk about this love, and it's the third one that you'll see there. It means arising from or going to the root or source. It's getting down to something very fundamental. We're talking about a love that really is found in the heart of God and then can also be found in our hearts, but only because of God. And it's not a centric love. It's not centric in that it's all about pointing to me. This is what I need. Oh, that person upset me, or I didn't get this and they've got this and I haven't got it. All the things that we look at about me, 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 me. It's not about that. It's radical. It's going out. It's radical. It's pointing out. That's the kind of love that we're talking about. We're getting to the source of love, which is from God. And only in God do we have that love. And only in him do we find our hope and our strength and our purpose. All of those things are found in the love of God. And it's getting to that source of love and then actually being able to express that love. And I tell you what, we do have that challenge this year to lead a soul for Christ. If we can actually all grab a hold of this, including myself and a new revelation, I'm praying, Lord, give me a new revelation of this for myself, even as well as we go through all of this, as we study the Word of God, that leading a person to Christ really would not be all that hard, not all that difficult, if we can grab a hold of that love and getting a hold of God in such a way that his heart beats as ours, as God's heartbeat is our heartbeat, that our heart is that aligned to him and his purposes in the kingdom of God. I want to read one passage this morning, and that's what we're going to be looking at, 1 John chapter 4, and reading down from verse 7. You've got a Bible, I said, just have a look at it because we're going to refer to different verses. I'm going to put it up on the screen in a moment, but we won't be flipping backwards and forwards to all the verses. So if you've got a Bible, it's helpful to be able to follow it along. But it's getting to the source, and he is our source. The Lord is our source. And getting to that, it's rising a love that actually comes from him. Because as I said, you're going to have days where your own human love will have its limits, your own capacity, because of trials and pressures and stresses and because of failures and letdowns and disappointments. But there's a love that we can live our life out of as opposed to that own human limited emotion. John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 4, 7 to 19. Let's read this together. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." Just think about that for a minute. What does that mean? Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Just think about that for a moment. "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." I love that. To know and to rely on the love of God. In whatever circumstance, we know that we can rely on God's love. Never let us down, never fail us, never forsake us in any way. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete. See, there's a completion of love here. "Love is made complete among us so that we all have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loves us." And so I just want to meditate on this passage for a little while. I want to talk about love, about the kind of love that we want to grab a hold of as a church, life-transforming truth. My prayer is that we will be transformed as we have a greater understanding of the love of God, and we don't dilute it down to our own human limited interpretation or even application of God's love. That makes it very clearly. It starts by saying, it says, "Let us love none another, for love comes from God." And when we're talking about love, love does emanate. He is the source of love. And we've got to understand that apart from God, there, whatever love that we may try to express, it's going to be a very small portion of that. We're all created in the image of God. All people are created in the image of God. All man was created in the image of God. And so inherent in mankind, and when God created man, he created in him a capacity to love. But the capacity to love is intrinsically linked to that relationship with the Father in heaven. And we know because of the fall of man, we know because of sin entering in, that relationship with God was broken. And therefore the capacity for people to actually show love is actually limited by that, because they're no longer connected to the source. People in the world, do they love their kids? Of course they love their kids. People do anything for their kids, and people do sacrifices for their kids. And just imagine, and people do. People of the world do love because God created them in their image. But just imagine that a love that is actually connected to the source, how powerful and how wonderful that is. And if we can grab a hold of it, we all love our kids. If you're a parent, you love your kids, you love your family. It's really important. We love our parents, we love our families. That's our heart. But there's a dimension and a deepness of love that we can express as we are connected to God, who is the source. We've got all love emanates from God. It actually comes from God. And more than is it just God just the source of love, it actually tells us in the scripture in verse 8, it tells us, it says, God is love. It makes a statement, God is love. And if you read a little bit further down verse 16, and like put a little parenthesis there, it says, again, God is love. A lot of people of the world, if they think of God, they think God is judgment. That's what they think of God. They think that God is the angry judge up there, waiting that one day when their time does come, that they're going to be judged and God is there ready to get them. Now, ultimately, we all will stand before God, and there is a judgment that will come. We've already read in that verse a little moment ago about confidence on the day of judgment. We'll talk about that more in a moment. But God actually is not embodied by judgment. God is actually embodied by love. That is the very nature, the very substance, the existence of God is that heart of love. And so, if, as I'm saying, if we can get people to understand who God is, that he is not the harsh judge. Yes, he is righteous, but he is lovingly righteous. Yes, he is just, but he is lovingly just. And if we can get people to understand who God is and the very nature of God, then to lead people to Christ is so much easier. But we've got to grab a hold of it. The more that we grab a hold of that, the easier it is to lead people in God's love and in his way. And the thing about God being love is that the more that if we want to love more, then we need to know God more. The more you know God, the more your capacity to love. Even when you don't feel like it, you might not feel like it because of circumstances, because of situations, and you may think, how can I care about anyone else? I've got all this stuff going on in my own life. But there is a capacity to love far beyond that. And that really is our witness. That really is our testimony. That's what speaks volumes to that. And just even, you know, I just want to honor again Vincent and Sarah, and just, you know, Sarah showing incredible love to people when she was going through a really difficult time, and Vincent also. But I saw the love of God pouring out of their hearts, and I honor that. I know God honors that, and that's the kind of people that we want to be, to show that love that's even beyond our own capacity. But see, the only way that we'll ever really know what love is, and is it comes down to the cross. We've got a cross in the background of our theme, and you'll see that cross is going to come all the way through, because that is the defining moment. That is the point where we really begin to understand really what love is about. What God says love is, not what man says it is, not what the card. Some of you might get a Valentine's card, and I'm not saying don't send them to one another, but I'm saying always have the heart to demonstrate and show love. Don't just do it once a year to make a lot of money for the greeting card companies. Always be ready to express that. But some of you might get a card and it might have some sentimentalism in it, and those things are fine. It's not invalid, but there's a deep of a love that doesn't really tell us what love is. It's the cross of Jesus Christ that tells us what love is. It says in verses 9 and 10 of what we've just read, it says, this is how God showed his love among us. So he demonstrated his love. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us. So it's not about God responding to us, about saying, oh, you love me, so therefore I'm going to love you. And the world is like that, very conditional. A lot of parents are like that with your love. You're a good kid, I'll show you love. If you're a bad kid, I'm going to withdraw my love from you, and I'll turn away and I'll punish you by withdrawing love. What a distorted, perverted understanding of what love is. Love isn't like that. It says not that we love God, but he loved us. That love of God is just so set upon us. We know that even when we didn't deserve it, when we hated God or we were sinful and had a heart that was just far away from God, God loved us. And it says, not because we loved him, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The only reason we know what love is because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And apart from knowing about the cross and understanding the cross and what Jesus dying upon the cross, no one will ever really come into an understanding of Jesus Christ, having understanding of love. Love is actually embodied in the cross. Radical love is embodied in the cross. And it's the understanding of that is to understand that. You know, Jesus told us he said, be in this world, you know, we've got to be like him in this world, and we're following the example of Christ. Doesn't mean we're all going to die on a cross, but it talks about having that kind of love which is embodied in the cross. That's how we know what love is. And 1 John 3:16, not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16, if you flip over your page, it'll come up on the screen. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. But without the cross, there's not an understanding of love. To really know what the love is, we have to understand the cross. We have to understand God's heart towards us, but it's embodied and it's demonstrated, it's imbibed, it's all caught up within the cross. And that's why, again, you'll see this cross and you'll see it there, because it reminds us of the love of God and his heart for each and every one of us. And so without the cross, we can't really love. And as I said, there's People who aren't Christians, doesn't mean they don't love you, but they love. But the understanding of love and the level of love is a superficial love, because they've been cut off from the source. We're not walking with Christ. We're cut off with the source. And so we can love and we can care. We can show affection. We can show concern. And we can show, it's love. But compared to what the real meaning of love is, compared to that, it really is a radical love compared to what the world's understanding and the normal application of love is in this world. It's a radical kind of love that is centered around the cross. And so one of the things that this year that we have a greater understanding of everything that Christ has done for us and his journey to the cross, his heart, but to understand that without the cross, we're never really going to understand what love is. And when we're reaching out to people, we want to see them come into his kingdom. We want them to know the cross, because without the cross, they're not really going to know the love of God and be able to experience that. Gadget mentioned before that there's been a couple of challenges that we're given this year. One of the challenges he's mentioned, which was during communion, about winning someone for Christ this year. And I trust that we grab a hold of that. Don't go to the end of the year and say, oh, look, you know, I was going to pray and I meant to invite them and I meant to talk to so-and-so and oh, I was busy, I was caught up. Let's not do that. Let's do it this year. Let's do that. Let's take that challenge up. But one of the other challenges is that we might really grow this year. And we said, get along to church. Make it a priority. Don't make other things a priority. Come, get along to hunger. Do the courses. Do things. Do whatever it takes. You grow daily. Get into that so that we might grow. And as we grow in the understanding of the knowledge of God, it is life transforming. This is a year of life transformation. Now, you can watch others be transformed or you can be transformed. It's up to you. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We want to be transformed by the love of God and the understanding, a greater awareness of that. One of the key scriptures this year as a challenge for us was in Ephesians 5:2. It's in that when you have a look at your vision document, and it lists all of those areas about radically loving God, radically loving our brothers and sisters, and showing radical love to the world. Right at the very top above all of those is this scripture in Ephesians 5:2. And this is what it says. And it says, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Again, then the link together. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice in God. About living a life in love. And you cannot live a life in love if you're not connected because of the cross. Now, we are all connected to our Creator. We all have fellowship. We're all one with our Father in heaven because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are. We have that connection. We are connected to the source because of what Christ did, and we received and accepted that in our life. But the challenge is to live a life of love and to live that every day. It says in verse 16 of the passage that we read, it says, God is love. We said that whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. So it's about living in love, to live in love. It's not talking about being in love. Being in love is good. I'm in love with my wife and I love my wife very much. She's everything. I love my wife and I'm in love with my wife. And I trust that you're in love with your spouse and you're in love. But the sad situation in the world is that some people who don't understand this Christ love and this connection from the love of God, people are in love one day and they're out of love the next day. What happened to them? Oh, we just fell out of love. You can't fall out of love. When you get the Christ love that you're connected to, if you understand that, you cannot fall out of love. It's not something you fall out of. The type of love that we're talking about, the radical love, is the love that you live in. You can't fall in it, you can't fall out of it, you live in it, you walk in it every day. That's the kind of love that we're talking about this year. It's not something that we fall in or fall out of. And it's interesting when it says here that in verse 7, it says, everyone who loves has been born of God. So everyone, it says, who loves has been born again. And as I said before, well, people in the world, they love their kids. Does that mean they're born again just because they're loving their kids? Is that what this passage is saying? Everyone who loves is born of God? No, it's not saying that at all. It's saying that to really love, to radically love, to give, to love even as God intended, you can't do that apart from the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And if you want to be a better husband, if you want to be a better wife, a better mother, a better father, a better child, a better parent, a better brother, a better sister, a better friend, a better neighbor, a better colleague, if you want to be that, you want to be a better person, then to have the love of God in our life enables us to do that, to live a life of love. And it defines who we are. It's a defining thing. Our definition of how we live our life, it's found in we're living a life of love. And verse 17 of this passage says a very interesting thing. It says, in this world, love is made complete among us, and we have confidence in the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. In this world we are like him. Now it mentions judgment, so does that mean? It means, well, yes, sure, but because of our relationship with the Father through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have complete confidence in the day of judgment. It does mean that. And so that when we go before the Lord, we go without any fear, without apprehension, in fact, with the joyful expectation of all that God has for us, a wonderful thing that he has. But it says in this world we are like him. And that's really is the challenge for us, is to live a life of love. And not that we're born by emotion. I like this one. Oh, this person upset me, so I don't like them now, or I'll put them in my watch out for that person box or whatever. No. I'm living a life of love because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's really that intimacy with our Father enables us to love. People in the world will love to a degree, but they can't truly love until they know Christ, because God is the source, and the embodiment of that is expressed in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, as I said. But to be like him in this world, what a wonderful thing to be known. In fact, in John's prayer, it says, you know, about when really, John 17, when the Lord is praying, which is really the Lord's prayer. The other one was more the disciples' prayer. He's teaching them how to pray. John 17 is before he goes off to the cross, and he's crying out to God, and he talks about us and you know, you and me, and so God and the Father as being one, and then us being joined in that same intimate relationship. And he says that so that the world will know, and really that's how the world is going to know. Being a peculiar people, the Bible talks about. Strange, radical, different. Something about us that is different, which is so attractive to people in the world. And so, look, we're none of us at that point, but we want to be closer at that point. And you want to get to the end of this year, and you want to be living a life of love far more. We're still going to have our weaknesses and frailties will still come to the surface at times because we're on a journey. But wherever we are on the journey, whether we're here, there, or wherever we are, saying, Lord, I want to be able to demonstrate and embody that life of love more than ever before, more than I have even in the past. In this world, we are like him. And it says in verse 19, it says, we love because he loved us. That's the only way that we know what love is because God loves us. And ultimately, we were never created to be separated from God. Mankind was never created to be separated from God. God never planned or designed us to be separated from him. So our whole capacity to love was always intended to come from God and to flow from God, and that in every relationship that we have, that the love of God is flowing through far beyond your own human capacity to love and to forgive. And some people say, look, I just can't forgive this person. Well, maybe you can't, but if you're connected to the source, you can. You can do that because God designed you to be able to do that. He made you to do that. You're connected to the source. You're able to do that. It's because he loved us. We're never made to be separated from God. He never created that way. And as I said, if we can grab a hold of this challenge this year, you're going to have the best marriage. Your marriage will go up whatever notch it's on. Increase radically and dramatically. Relationship with your kids, even children that are estranged from you. You're going to learn something and how to do. Because remember, God, who is love, is the source of love. When you were estranged from him, it says even when we were objects of wrath, that we deserved something, yet we grabbed a hold of something and God's love touched us as a parent. Maybe your kids have gone off the rails, and that maybe that's a main source of your prayer. Lord, how do I love them? How do I show them? Lord, how do I touch them? Don't want to compromise on what I believe, but Lord, I still want to know, show them that pure love. How do I do that? There'll be a revelation that will come more and more in our heart. And it says here in verse 12, it says, if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. See, there's an expression of that love. It's something that had to be expressed. God is love, but he showed that by going to the cross. And there's something that will happen as we grab a hold of love that we'll be able to work out in our life as His love is made complete in us. And it has to be expressed. Obviously, when Christ expressed His love, is dying upon the cross. And it says this is how you know. You wouldn't know what love was apart from the cross. You wouldn't know. Not enough that He created us. Not enough that He created heaven and earth and all this beauty and majesty around us. But because of the cross, we know what love is. And it's because of that. But it's because of it was outworked. And one of the other challenges that we gave, the third challenge this year, was in terms of getting in there and using the gifts and talents that you have to be in there serving. And to serve and to sacrifice. That's a part of loving, is to serve and to sacrifice. Just mums who sacrifice so much for their kids, non-believers who love their kids and sacrifice, how much more should we who know the source and are connected to the source be able to serve and to sacrifice and to love, and irrespective of comfort, our own comfort, our own whatever else, to put it aside, because we have an ability to love far greater than that. And so I encourage you with that we do that. But ultimately the challenge for us is to see people come into the kingdom of God. You read through this passage and it just sees God's heart and God's yearning. That, yeah, there's a yearning here that would be one with one another. We're going to talk about that cross this year. But ultimately the yearning is that people will come to know Him, to know Him that He is the Saviour of the world. Verse 14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Saviour of the world. And ultimately, that's got to be expressed for that. In a little while, we're going to be praying for those people. We're going to be giving those names in the Book of Life prayer. I trust that something even happens there, because maybe some of us wrote down names and put the name there and had every intention and you never really prayed for them. Maybe some even, just forgot all about that. I trust that this year that we're going to really be praying for those people. And the challenge that we have is that we're going to bring one person to the Lord this year. That's a big ask on our own. It's huge. But if we've got the love of God flowing through our hearts, and He begins to do something in us and it helps us to be able to show them the love of God, actually God will help us to be able to do that. Now verse 7, it says, in this way, 17, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. And ultimately that's what it's about. You know, we announced about our sister Doreen this morning. Well, there's a sadness because we're going to miss her. But there's also a joy in our heart because we know where she is now. There's a confidence for her. And for every one of us that is here that has given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a confidence on the day of judgment. We can have a confidence because of the love of God, because we're connected, because the cross is connecting us to that love, that we know God is love and we know that we have that because of Jesus Christ. Apart from the cross, we don't have the love of God, and therefore only remains is the fear of judgment. And there'll be people that you know, people that you work with, people that you live with in your neighborhood, people that are in your street, people that you deal with, family members who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and don't know His love. And if people don't know the Lord, there's no confidence on the day of judgment. We pray and say, oh Lord, I just pray, Lord, on that last moment, that last gasp, Lord, that the last moment of consciousness, awareness, Lord, that somehow within their heart or within their spirit they cry out and reach out to God. And ultimately, that's possible. And so we don't sit in judgment of anybody whether someone has given their heart to the Lord or not. But we want to know with confidence. And as a family member, I want to be confident where all my family are going to end up. I want to be confident. I'm confident for me. That's fantastic. I want to be confident for my kids. I want to be confident for my wife. I want to be confident for all my family on the day of judgment. And so therefore there remains a challenge for each and every one of us, the people that we know, is that allow the love of God to penetrate our heart and to understand that and to change us to such an extent that we're going to reach out with love for people, that they also will have that confidence on the day of judgment. And so what we want to do this morning, just going to take about 5 minutes this morning, but last Sunday in your vision pack, you're all given in your vision pack to fill in your book of life. We have a book of life where we pray for people. There's a book of life in heaven that at the end of the day when we stand before the Father, the books are open and you're either in or you're out, not halfway. You're either in or within, you're out. Now, if we're connected with our Father for our Lord Jesus Christ, we're in. We know we're in. because of Jesus Christ, not even because of us, because of the very righteousness of God is given to us through Jesus Christ. And so because of that love of God, we enjoy that. It's poured upon us. We have confidence in the day of judgment. But there are people that you know that we cannot necessarily be confident for. In fact, there may be some people that you're actually fairly confident in the other way because they're so hard to God. But we want to pray that God will change us to help us pour the love of God upon them and to touch their lives. And that's what we want to do. We want to pray. So if you brought those along with you, I trust that you brought them along with you this morning. And we're going to collect these in a moment. If you didn't bring it, then the stewards are going to hand out some forms this morning. So if you haven't got your form with you this morning, just put your hand up. And we're going to just, and I'll give you a pen and you can fill this in. But what we're doing is collecting up names of people that we're going to pray for. Now, this year particularly, we want you to target one particular person more than any other. Because the reality is you probably could write down 50 names. All right, you could probably do that. But we want you to write down maybe three or four people that you're going to commit to pray for. And that you really want to see them in God's kingdom and to know that love. And maybe it's been really hard for you in the past. Maybe they've been resistant. You've tried to do that before. Maybe some of you are thinking, look, I've had them down. I've been praying for them. And maybe some are thinking, oh, that just seems a little bit too hard. But this year we're praying that God is going to do a great thing and believe that he really is. And he's going to do something within our hearts that's going to enable us to be that conduit to see the love of God touch people in a way perhaps as never before. And so just put your hand up if you haven't got that, because everyone in the church does this. We put them in. And so just take a moment just to put people's names in there. Because when we take these names, what we do is we put them over here and they end up in this little book over here, the Book of Life, Prayer. And the names of these people are put there. And we pray for these people. We pray for them at prayer meetings. We pray at prayer gatherings that these people... And you put the name in because you love them. Because you want to see them come into the kingdom of God. You want them to be confident on the day of judgment. And so we pray for these people. But part of putting the name down is your commitment that I'm going to pray for them. I actually do love the people I'm putting down and I really do have a heart for them. And so we're making a commitment. It says, I commit myself to pray for the following people whom I have a relationship with. Pray for each person by name. So bring them, name them before the Lord and then pray for yourself. Pray that you'll be bold and have the courage to declare his word. Pray that the message is clear, that when you speak to them, it's clear and understood. Pray that the message of your life doesn't betray the message of your mouth. So you're there telling everyone about the Lord and then but the way that you're living your life, they think, well, if that's a Christian, the way they talk, the way they behave, I don't want it. So we make sure that our life actually marries up with the message. And pray that we speak with a gracious heart and gracious words, that the love of God will actually come through our hearts to touch the lives of people. So I just encourage you with that this morning. So if you haven't done that, again, if you need one of those forms, just keep your hand up and the stewards will give those to you when we're going to collect those. And but I'm just going to pray before we take these up this morning. So I'm just going to pray and just put down that you all know people. You all know people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you want to put their names down, we're going to pray for them. Okay, so let's just pray now. I just want to pray for those people. We all know people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to see them in God's kingdom. That's our heart. We want to have confidence. Even as we are confident of the day of judgment, that they will know the Lord Jesus Christ in that way. So let's just pray. Father, even Lord, as these names are being put down, Lord, on this paper, Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we have salvation because of you. Lord, that we were able to tap into the source of love, our Heavenly Father, that we have relationship because of the cross, which connects us to that love, Lord, and enables us to live a life of love, Lord. And Father, I just pray, Lord, for every one of us, Lord, even as we're here, Lord, that we're going to be a people, Lord, that will live a life of love and be able to do that, Lord, because you're going to pour your love through us and upon us, Father. And Lord, that we will be that vessel, the vessel, Lord, that will show your love and shine your love out and touch love into other people's hearts, Father, that love of God will flow through us. And Lord, I pray, Lord, even as these names are being put down, Lord, and those that have already put them down, Father, Lord, these names, these people, Father, Lord, that we're going to target one of them particularly, Lord, with your love this year. Father, we want to see these people in your kingdom. Father, at the end of the day, at the end of the age, Lord, when you come back, Lord, and ultimately when we stand before the Father, before that great white throne and all the books of heaven are open, Father, we want to see these people in your kingdom. And Lord, we want to be confident of that, Lord. We don't want to be wondering and hoping and wishing, but Lord, we want to be confident because these people come into relationship with Jesus Christ. They confess you as their Lord and Savior. Father, they allow your love to permeate them, Lord, to change them, to transform them, Father. So, Lord, that's our prayer. That's our heart this day. So, Father, we just commit this to you now in Jesus' name.